तो हरि में कुलिशे नवीरा हरता प्रमर्थाय वशिरो यधीहा तत्रांद्रिनो भूत बलीं विधाय मनस्विनं भादरजा प्रपत्स्ये। Indra, you are bereft of all shame, mercy, glory, and good fortune. Deprived of these good qualities by the reactions of your fruitive activities, you are to be condemned even by the Rakshasas. Now I shall pierce your body with my trident, and after you die with great pain, even fire will not touch you. Only the vultures will eat your body. You are naturally cruel. If the other demigods, unaware of my prowess, follow you by attacking me with raised weapons, I shall sever their heads with this sharp trident. With those heads I shall perform a sacrifice to Bhairava and the other leaders of the ghosts, along with their horns. But if in this battle you cut off my head with your thunderbolt and kill my soldiers, O Indra, O great hero, I shall take great pleasure in offering my body to other living entities, such as jackals and vultures. I shall thus be relieved of my obligations to the reactions of my karma, and my good fortune will be to receive the dust from the lotus feet of great devotees like Narada Muni. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Narottam Das Thakur sings, Echai Gosayar Muitaradas Thansabhara Padarenu Mora Panchagras. I am the servant of the six Goswamis, and the dust of their lotus feet provides my five kinds of food. A Vaishnav always desires the dust of the lotus feet of previous acharyas and Vaishnavas. We are reading today from the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, a most mysterious an illuminating story. In summary, it begins with the great king of the name Chitraketu. He had the power to rule over this entire earth. He had inconceivable wealth, popularity, recognition. He had several beautiful wives, wonderful palace. But the laws of material nature are very difficult to understand. Even if you have everything that you strive throughout your life to attain, if one thing goes wrong, your life is miserable. And who is there to guarantee that that one thing will not go wrong? Mamu Pete Punarjan Madhukalaya Mashasrutam. Krishna says that everything in this world is uncertain and temporary, and at any moment, all of our plans will be foiled. Chitraketu had everything anyone could ever want in this world, except none of his wives were able to give him a son. Bereft of a son, this king was in an utterly frustrated, miserable condition. One day, the great saint Angira Muni came to visit the palace of Chitraketu, and he saw that this great king, the luster of his face had turned dull. There was no life in his eyes. It is said that the face is the index of the mind. An intelligent and perceptive person can understand a person's mental condition simply by looking at his or her face. So Angira Muni, he asked Maharaj Chitraketu, "For what reason are you in such a suffering condition? Have you not properly given in charity? Have you been insulted by your enemies? Have you lost some battle? Have you been betrayed by your friends? Have you not performed your prescribed religious sacrifices?" Maharaj Chitraketu said, no. "I have very carefully fulfilled all of these things, and everyone is very kind and loving to me. But because I have no son, there's no pleasure in my palace. There's no intimacy with my wives. There's no meaning to my being the king. Everything is like a useless, dry, tasteless desert, for I have no child." So Angira Muni, he gave a particular type of prasad. He said, "Give this to your wife. From this a son will be born. And you will name this son Harshashoka, which means one who gives pleasure, but also pain." So sure enough, in a very short time, a beautiful, wonderful son was born. And he was named Harshashoka. King Chitraketu was thinking, wherever there is pleasure, there is always some mixture of pain, but we can tolerate that and be happy. So this boy was the life and soul of the king. Because the more you long for something, the greater attachment there is when you finally attain it. Just like our Guru Maharaj used to say, you should not give books away free. Because if you give something to someone free, then they will, because they haven't made some sacrifice to have it, they don't see the value of it. They most likely will never read it. If you charge them a lot, then they'll think, "I paid so much for this. This must really be valuable. I better read it very carefully." This is human nature. The more you have to strive for something, the more when you get it, you really appreciate its value. And you become very attached to it also. So Maharaj Chitraketu, because of so many long, long years of longing for a son, when he finally got this son, it was his life and soul. It was everything, his whole life, his whole mind. The whole kingdom was revolving around the sun. But you know, it is also the way of the world that one man's food is another man's poison. What does that mean? That for one person to enjoy, another person suffers. That is material life. The more you have, the less somebody else has. So this wonderful queen that begot the son, she was just in the limelight of everyone's eyes. The king was so happy, so pleased, so proud with her. But the other queens, they became very envious. Out of insanity, people want to somehow or other obtain some nice position or some nice material facilities, thinking, "I will impress others." But really, there's no such thing as impressing other people in this world. It is an illusion. It is Maya. Because the more you have thinking, the more I have, the more I'll impress others. Instead of being impressed, they will become envious. Instead of loving you for what you have, they'll hate you for what you have. It is human nature. We're working so hard thinking this person will be impressed. But that same person, externally impressed. Oh, you are so very good. This is so nice. I like so much. But in their heart is thinking, I deserve it, not him. He's a rascal. He's a show-off. It should be mine. What right does he have something that I don't, to have something I do not have? People burn with envy. Just like a woman makes herself very beautiful to think, oh, all my friends will think I am beautiful. But the more beautiful she becomes, the more her friends are envious. I want to be like that. Why is she so beautiful? Why people are looking at her, not me? Huh? And if a man gets a beautiful, nice car, he's thinking, oh, my friends will be impressed to see what a success story my life is. What a nice car. Nobody's impressed. Except maybe your most near and dear ones may be a little impressed. But usually your near and dear ones are the ones who get most envious. Huh? Brothers, the worst thing to do in a family is give something nice to one brother. Because all the other brothers will be envious. Why not me? I want it. Huh? You could learn so much from children. When I was a little boy, my mother used to always say, the greatest poison for a child is toys. Because whoever has a nice toy, all the other brothers and sisters are fighting, and they end up beating each other with their fists over who can play with it. Huh? Human nature. When someone has something you don't have, you become envious. So this queen, everyone was envious of her. To such a degree that they made a plot to give poison to the child just so that they would get equal recognition. This is also human nature. If you cannot do something someone else can do, you would rather destroy them or destroy what they have than to be the one without it. Read the newspapers. Practically every article of every page is related to this philosophy. We cannot have boy. Nobody should have boy. So they kill the child with poison. And Maharaj Chitraketu and his wife, when they heard the news and they saw the dead corpse of the child, Krishna says in Gita, Yam hi nav yati yante te purusham purushashava samaduka sukham dhiram somritatva vakalpate. That to the degree you're attached to something, to that degree you must suffer. He was so much attached to this child, and beyond his control when it was taken away, how much he suffered. How much he lamented. So, it is also said that the darkest moment comes before the dawn. Generally, we are so infatuated by our success that it takes a smashing failure to sober us up and get us to turn to God. It doesn't have to be that way. But usually we're so foolish, that's the only way we'll accept enlightenment. So what happened is this. Chitraketu Maharaj was so much in an ocean of lamentation, he could not rule his kingdom, he could do nothing but cry. And cry, and cry. So Narada Muni and Angira Muni, they came to the palace. They saw Chitraketu. He was worse than ever before. Better if he never had the son, as far as material happiness. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati. A devotee of the Lord hankers for nothing because he knows whatever he hankers for, he must lament over. How much he was merged in an ocean of lamentation. So Narada Muni said, What is it we can do to serve you, my king? Please bring my son back to life. Narada Muni had such power given by God, Sri Krishna. He called the soul back into that body. And the body got up. And Narada Muni spoke, "My dear Hashashoka, why have you left your body and given your father so much grief?" He said, "My father? Which father are you talking about? I have had millions of lives. And in each one I've had a father. Which one do you want me to talk about? The father in my insect life? The father in my lizard life? The father in my various animal lives? The father in my various human births? Which father?" Krishna Guru Nahi Mile Bajahari Ai. That in every birth we have a father and mother, but it is very rare to have someone who can teach us about God, our Supreme Father. So Chitraketu Maharaj, upon hearing his son's words, he became enlightened. He was thinking, "What kind of a crazy fool am I? So attached to these bodily conceptions. The only goal of life is to understand my realization, my relationship with my real father, Lord Sri Krishna." So Chitraketu Maharaj at that time transcended his piety and surrendered his life to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he had darshan with Lord Shankarshan, one of the great forms of Sri Krishna. Now, even amongst great souls, Krishna puts them in situations just to teach the rest of us. So Maharaj Chitraketu, one time, he was completely a liberated, completely a pure, completely a free soul, emerged in the ocean of love of God. He was traveling and he came by an assembly of great sannyasis and yogis and gurus, and they were all devotees of Lord Shankar. And in the midst of that assembly, there was Lord Shiva giving a discourse on the principles of renunciation. But something very strange was observed. Here were all these great, great renunciates. And Lord Shiva was telling them about the principles of the highest vairagya, detachment. And while he was speaking, his wife, Parvati, was very affectionately embracing him and sitting upon his lap. So Chitraketu began to laugh. "What is this nonsense? All these great yogis who are completely detached from any form of sex, Shiva is telling them about how to become detached from sex while his wife is sitting upon him?" So he laughed. Now Lord Shiva could understand between two pure devotees that they were making some joke. But a chaste wife by nature cannot tolerate hearing any injustice to her husband. Parvati was the perfect wife. Whether the husband is right or wrong, a good wife will always try to protect his dignity and keep his name pure and well respected. So Parvati, she became very angry. She said, "You nonsense, Chitraketu. You are supposed to be a great devotee. You are supposed to be a great king. But you are criticizing great souls like Lord Shiva. You are simply an imitation. You have no good qualities. It is said in the Shastra that anyone who criticizes a great devotee of the Lord loses all of his good qualities, whatever they may have been. It is the mad elephant offense. Even if one spends lifetimes and years and years and years cultivating a garden of spiritual flowers within his heart, through tapasya, through japa, through sadhana, through charity, through seva, you may have a beautiful, beautiful garden of virtues and spiritual qualities. But if you offend a great devotee of the Lord, it is like allowing a mad elephant into that garden. The mad elephant, within seconds, destroys everything. Huh? So Parvati wanted to teach this Chitraketu a good lesson. She said, because you are behaving like a demon by criticizing my husband, I hereby, on this day, curse you to go to hell and to become a demon. Rakshasa. Now, the devotees of the Lord, they know with faith and conviction that nothing can happen without the mercy of Krishna. Not even a blade of grass can move without his sanction. Mayadyakshena prakriti suyate sacharacharam hetu nani nukonte jagad viparivaratite. This entire material creation is working under the direction of Krishna. So Chitraketu, although it appeared to be something very bad, he had to go to hell and be a demon, but he had complete faith that Krishna has some divine plan behind all of this. Because he knew, I really didn't do anything wrong, I was just joking. But for such a great person as Parvati to misunderstand me, it can only be Krishna making some wonderful arrangement through her. So with a grateful and thankful heart, Maharaj Chitraketu bowed down and said, Parvati Devi, Mataji, thank you so much. You are very kind and merciful to me. Now with your kind permission, I will go to hell and be demon. Haribol. And then he left, after offering obeisances at her lotus feet. And Lord Shiva, upon seeing this, Vaishnavanam yata shambhu, he is such a great devotee, he was so impressed. He said, Parvati, have you seen this? Narayana parasarave nakutashtana vigdite swaraka pavaraka narakeshu apitulyata darshanaha. Can you understand such qualities that this person exhibited? This is the nature of the devotees of Lord Narayan. That they care nothing whether they're in hell, whether they're in heaven, whether they're liberated. As long as they have some service to the Lord, they are satisfied. They are not particular what situation they're put in. They know that every situation is simply an opportunity for seva to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna. This is real detachment. To become detached means to be completely attached. We are so attached to Krishna that we do not mind whatever situation he puts us in, because we know we always have his holy name. And we always have the opportunity to think of him, to remember him. And in heaven or hell, nothing could take that chance away. Therefore, a devotee is always peaceful, always content in any situation of life. So, Maharaj Chitraketu became a demon. His name was Vritrasura, and he was very powerful. So powerful. He was destroying the whole army of the demigods. But he was all doing it as a service to Lord Krishna. And Indra, he was the only one who had the power to face Vritrasura on the battlefield. And after Indra saw that this Vritrasura is very, very powerful, he took his most powerful astra, the thunderbolt, and he cast it toward Vritrasura. But Vritrasura simply caught it effortlessly and threw it back. And it hit Indra's elephant, who fell to the ground and started bleeding. And then Indra just thought, I cannot fight against such a powerful person. I am defeated. There's nothing I can do. He became very afraid. And Vritrasura, on this battlefield, this great Rakshasa and demon, he is preaching to Indra. Please, Indra, I beg you, fight with me. You are such a fool that you are so attached to your body that you are afraid of me. You are so attached to all of your heavenly pleasures that you're defending them all. What kind of king of heaven are you anyway? You murder people simply because you're afraid you may lose some wealth. He murdered the great Vishwarup because he was afraid that he would take the side of his enemies and take away his wealth. He said, you are supposed to be a devotee, but you are creating such havoc in this world because of your attachment. I'm not a devotee. I'm a Rakshasa by birth, but I have complete faith in Krishna. He's put me in this Rakshasa body, and if you kill this body, that will be my greatest pleasure. Please, I beg you, take that thunderbolt of yours and cut off my head. Because after you kill this material body, which is simply sarira avidya jal, a container of ignorance, then I will attain the dust from the lotus feet of the great Vaishnavas. That is all I hope to attain. If it means giving up this body, then I can serve the dust of the lotus feet of the great Vaishnavas. That is my greatest pleasure. In this form, what service can I do? It's all ghastly service. I cannot associate with Narada Muni. I cannot associate with the great saints. Kill this body. Cut off this head. Give me the chance to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the great devotees of the Lord. Naishamatista dhava urukramangrim sprisatyanartha pagamodyadarata mahiyasam mahiya sampadara jopishekam niskinchana namna brinita yavat. That the greatest attainment in all of creation, Prahlad says, is to take bath in the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord's devotees. Prahlad Maharaj said, unless one bathes in the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas, one can never become free from material entanglement, and one can never attain the lotus feet of Krishna. So this is Vritrasura's prayer. Please, kill me! Take this body from me! Because if you kill me, I'll be remembering Krishna. And then I'm sure to attain the service of his servants. I'm sure to attain the association of his devotees. This is Krishna consciousness. But what is our position? We are so much attached to this body. We are so much attached to the enjoyments of the senses. We are so much attached to the prestige and the wealth of this world that we don't even have time. The devotees are there. The temples are there. The name of God is there, but we don't have time for it because we're too busy laboring like foolish asses with foam coming from our mouths, trying to just make a better situation for this body and this world. We do not have time to serve the dust of the feet of the Vaishnavas. But Vritrasura, he is giving us good instruction. If that's the case, better die. If you have to work so hard to maintain this body that you don't have time for devotional service, you're better off dead. This body is nothing but a burden. It is nothing but an impediment. It's useless. Worse than useless. Being useless is neutral. But it has nothing but negative qualities. Because it's tearing your mind and your consciousness away from its source, from Krishna, the Paramatma. Vritrasura, if he wanted, he could have defeated Indra right here and there, and he could have conquered the heavenly planets. In this body of his, which was so strong and so incredibly healthy and so powerful and so illustrious and effulgent, he could have had all the enjoyments of the heavenly kingdom. Huh? But he didn't want the heavenly kingdom. He wanted death. Imagine the consciousness of this Vritrasura. If you were given the opportunity to have all the wealth, all the luxury, all the beautiful women of Indra, the king of heaven, that's one choice, and the other choice is death. What would you take? How many would take all the luxuries and opulences and pleasures and popularity of Indra's kingdom? How many would rather have death? I guess none of you registered for voting this year. Anyways, obviously we are all ashamed to admit that we would rather have the kingdom of heaven. I mean, kingdom of heaven, we're working like anything, just laboring, worrying, frustrated, not for the kingdom of heaven, but just for some little flat in Bombay. No wonder none of you raised your hands. Indra's getting the most opulent the most wonderful foodstuffs cooked by heavenly damsels. And what do you get? Some chapati, some sabji from the markets here in Bombay? Huh? You're working so hard for that. You may have a nice husband or a nice wife. Indra has all these beautiful apsaras dancing for him, enjoying with him. We're working so hard for nothing. He has everything. Vritrasura had all facility to enjoy it all. But he preferred death. This is a devotee. He prefers death than to be in any situation where he has to forget Krishna. Huh? He prefers death to any other situation that diverts his attention away from the service of the Vaishnavas. And Vritrasura was not just speaking fanciful words. After all, anyone can say it. He meant it. He told Indra how to kill him. He said, first you cut off my arms, then you cut off my legs, then you cut off my head. And just because I have my prescribed duty in this world as the king of the demons, I have to make a show that I'm trying to kill you. Huh? It's my material obligation. But you'll see how I'm attached to it. Huh? So he attacked Indra. Oh, come on, cut off my arms. His arms fell off. Then he attacked him again. He didn't have any arms, but he attacked him with his mouth open, trying to eat him. He said, cut off my legs. Cut off his legs. He was just laying there. He said, now, Indra, cut off my head. And then he just started chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. He went into samadhi, completely engrossing his consciousness in the thought of Krishna, his pastimes, his qualities, his name, his devotees. And he was in such a state of samadhi, it is said that when you go into samadhi, your neck becomes very much stiff. So Indra, it took him 1 year with his thunderbolt to somehow or other cut his head off. And Vritrasura was just in great pleasure and happiness, just thinking, yes, let my arms, let my legs, let my head, let it all go. What do I need these things? All I need is to remember Krishna. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. There is a saying that you cannot judge a book by looking at its cover. Vritrasura was the greatest of all devotees, although he was factually in the body of a Rakshasa. And he was performing the duties of a Rakshasa, but his heart was constantly immersed in loving devotion to Sri Krishna. So, someone may ask, I'm a businessman, how can I think of Krishna? Or I'm a housewife, or I'm a student, how can I do nice sadhana for Krishna? Vritrasura was a Rakshasa. If a Rakshasa can be perfectly Krishna conscious, certainly a Vaishnav businessman or doctor or teacher, anyone. We just must learn from Vritrasura that our goal in life, our constant meditation, should be to strive to attain the dust from the lotus feet of the Vaishnava. This was his constant meditation. This is what he was anxious to give up his life for. But by the divine will of the Lord, his causeless mercy, it is not required that we have to give up this body. But we do have to give up our life. There is a famous saying, die before you die. Vritrasura, he was dead before he died. We have to die on the platform of the false ego. We have to allow the words of the great sadhus to kill all of our misconceptions. We have to allow the name of God to massacre, to destroy all of our material selfish attachments. And if we are not dead to all of these material aspirations before we die physically, then our life is wasted. We must die before we die. Sarva dharman puritya jamam ekam sharanam braja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masacha. This means to die before you die, to abandon all other social obligations, to abandon all other varieties of religion, all other attachments, and just surrender to the will of Krishna. Now, we may externally be performing so many social obligations, but our heart should always be fixed in serving the dust of the feet of Guru and the Vaishnavas and Krishna in whatever we do. Just like Raghunath Das Goswami, at one time he had a beautiful wife and he was a businessman helping his father. He wanted to run away from it all. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that you must understand how to live in this world, how to be in this world but not of this world. You perform your duty, you do your work, but don't be attached. He said, just like a wife who's madly in love with a man other than her husband, she will perform her service to her husband better than ever before, so that he does not suspect that she's thinking of someone else. But while she's performing her work, her mind is completely fixed on her object of love. He said, in the same way, you have to perform your social obligations in this world, but your heart, your mind, your consciousness should simply be fixed in Krishna. You should have no attachment for these things. What should be our attachment? To the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Nothing else. And when all of our material aspirations are finished, are dead, that means we have given our life in the service of the Lord. Of course, we are speaking a very high level of philosophy. Some people like to hear about the Rasleela of Krishna and Gopis. But factually, you cannot understand the Rasleela of Krishna and the Gopis. You cannot understand Brajleela until after you've done this. Until after you're dead from all material aspirations, until you have no other attachment than the dust of the feet of Krishna and the Vaishnavas. These leelas, they can charm our heart, but we can have no realization of them until our ego is dead. Until we have no other concern than Krishna. What was the quality of the residents of Vrindavan? When Krishna was a child, you know how much a mother and father are attached to their children. They were more attached to Krishna than their own children. They would completely forget about their own children, just thinking of Krishna. Huh? This is Vrindavan. Now, what does it mean to forget about our children? It doesn't mean to neglect them. It means die before you die to see that they are Krishna's children. I have no right to raise them in any way other than what Krishna wants. I should have no selfish concern. They are Krishna's. I am Krishna's. To nourish them with Krishna consciousness. To give them love, to give them shelter, to give them clothing, to give them food, simply so that they can have a clear and easy path of remembering Krishna throughout their life and doing his seva. Not for some other reason. So this beautiful story about the transcendental qualities of Dhritarasura is really the life and soul of the sincere devotees of the Lord. Dhritarasura Maharaj attained the supreme perfection of Vaikuntha Loka. There's no question of death. There's no such thing as death for a devotee. A devotee who dedicates his life in the loving service of Sri Krishna, the so-called death of the body is only the opening of the doors to the spiritual world. It is the beginning of eternal life. It is the entrance into the lila, the nitya lila of Sri Krishna. So what do we have to fear? We only have one thing to fear in this world. We should fear anyone or anything that is trying to divert our attention away from Krishna. One moment in forgetfulness of Krishna is the greatest misfortune. So how to always remember Krishna? How to take the weapon that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us, the weapon of the holy name? It is like the Sudarshan Chakra to our false ego. The weapon of the holy name is like the Sudarshan Chakra, which is meant to sever and destroy all of our illusory attachments in this world. The holy name is our constant companion. By chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Through this process of chanting, the eternal, most pure desire awakens in our heart. And what is that eternal, most pure of all desires? Dhritarasura has instructed us. It is simply to aspire to take the dust from the feet of those beloved servants who are the servants of the servants of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. That is our aim and goal for chanting the holy names. Na danam na janam na sundarim kavitam va jagadisha kamaye mama janamani janmanishmari bhavatad bhakti rahaita kitvai. We do not chant the holy names thinking, I will have children, I will have wealth, I will have beautiful enjoyment. We don't even want liberation. We simply want the opportunity to serve the lotus feet of the servants of the servants of the servants of the Lord. That is our goal. For one who has that ambition in life, Krishna opens the doors to the spiritual world. In this sublime mood, let us all sincerely chant the holy names. In the mood of Dhritarasura, let us chant the holy names. That, my Lord, if you want to kill this body, let it go. I don't mind. Just let my soul be like a speck of dust at your feet and at the feet of your servants. We should chant the holy names in this state of mind. This consciousness is a supreme gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the world. So everyone please stand up and we will chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.